Wala kaw na pagkatiulabi. Puro kaya kapag... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Aloha! Mahalo! Bobby here. Hey, brah. Hey, brah. Welcome to another episode of Tagabelli. I'm Captain Bob. Kalila, George, Gilbert, they're unfortunately here with me. They're unfortunately in the room with me, and that's fine. I want to thank the island of Kauai for being there. I was afraid that when we were going to land, it wasn't going to be there for some reason, but it was there.
Oh, natural.
And not only that, the Dalai Lama goes to Kauai, and there's a, was it called Portal?
Yeah, like in Palehale Beach is supposed to be a portal where people who are transitioning from living to death make their way out or something like that. Whoa. But there's some like energy vortex.
There's an energy vortex, and then some guy... I'm going to tell you what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm in the pool at the St. Regis. We had a butler. It's fine. And we had a butler. It's fine. It's classy. That's it. You know? And we're at the... It was great. You know what I mean? We rang the door. You made us make some coffee. It's fine. Never had a butler before. But anyway, so I'm in the pool one night. And all of a sudden I hear Bobby. And I look up and it's Mitch Hurwitz. And he created a little show called... what's it called?
Arrested Development.
That small thing.
Yeah, that's, and we talk for a bit, and then this kid comes out of nowhere from the pool, from the depths of the pool. He pops his head up, and he goes, "Bobby Lee." I go, "Are you some sort of merman child? What's going on here?" And he goes, "You know about the vortex?" He goes, "This is the island of manifestation." I go, "What the fuck?" And then Mitch just gets up and he leaves. It's just too hippie talk for him. So I'm floating there with this white dude. We're floating together in this pool, right? And I'm like, where's the vortex? Tell me about the Dalai Lama and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he goes, but if you get close to it, military comes and they take you away. Like these men in suits, they come and they take you away.
What the heck?
And he goes, the Dalai Lama came and he put a ribbon around a tree, but if you can't get near the tree. That's where the vortex is. But if it's the island of manifestation, I manifested all kinds of shit. And that what a beautiful island. It's my favorite island of all the Hawaiian islands. And I want to do a shout out to... So we're at a restaurant. And, you know, it's a nice... It's called...
Barracuda.
That's what I was at. Is that what it is?
Barracuda.
Barracuda. And we're eating. And all of a sudden, another dish comes to the table that I didn't order. And it's from the restaurant next door. And the guy goes, he's a Tiger Belly fan.
No, he serves it, and he's like, nosotros papaya
to you. He said, yeah, nosotros papaya
to me.
And he
gave us some fried chicken buns.
A jolly fat fella.
I know this guy.
Yeah.
Aaron, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not fat.
Well, he's thick.
He used to be fat. He's just on the keto diet right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He well, there you go. All. I can sense fat even when they don't have the fat.
You can sense the former fat.
The former fat. I can see the aura of the former fat, and that's one of my gifts. But, yeah, he's a great restaurant called Ama.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Kauai, go visit. It's a great place. It really is a great island. And we went horseback riding.
He was so sweet because like he was telling us that a week before he had turned away Julia Roberts. And Bobby was like, well, who would you open up this restaurant? Who would you, you know, open it back up for? And he was like Barack Obama or whatever. And he was like, honestly, you guys. And we were like,
and
that just feels so good.
And I'm going to say that.
This is what he texted me.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were talking. I didn't know you guys were, you had met him. I don't really get fanboy, but I really got nervous talking to them. And I literally turned Julia Roberts away 2 weeks ago from the restaurant because she showed up 10 minutes after we closed without batting an eye. But at first with Bobby and Kalila, I was shuddering.
Well, I was shuddering from his food. It was really dynamic.
Yeah. White guy cooking and Pan-Asian.
And we just got a letter.
Really good.
A letter, and I'm going to just read it. And
this isn't from him, though.
It's not from him, but I just want to say this, okay? I want to say this to all you listeners, the sleepers out there.
Yeah.
And the little nappers. And the nappers. Nosotros papaya you, my friends, okay? Because let me tell you something, all right? I was on the brink of suicide before this podcast.
Oh my God.
Kalila and I were going to do double suicides. You would have never even heard from us.
Yeah.
And the love and the affection and the support that we're getting is so very, the soul that's buying to me. All right? So I'm going to tell you something right now. This is a letter that I was sent. Hello, Tiger Belly. Love it. It was with great respect and gratitude that I'm sending this gift, this shirt that I'm wearing. It says, what does it say?
Hey, fuckface.
Sending this gift to the Slept King, Bobby Lee. I saw this and knew that I must get this for the fearless leader. Mm. I do not want to wait until November 19th, Molestation Day, to send it. I hope it isn't tight enough. And I just got to just read that little proportion because, number one, he respects Molestation Day.
Yes. Yeah.
Which he knows the date.
Yep.
I fucking forgot the date.
I forgot too.
Yeah. But every time on the 19th of November, my penis hurts. Mm-hmm. And that's how I know it's Molestation Day.
I can't touch him.
You can't touch me. She cannot touch me.
What do you
during
do
molestation
that day? You just
no. My
just
my asshole quivers. Mm-hmm. It's crying.
Oh,
just yeah. My butthole cries. Yeah, house. Yeah. And so anyway, all respect to you guys. I really appreciate it. And but it's interesting because of what's going on now in the world. And I've been watching. You know, when I binge. Mm-hmm. And I saw this World War II documentary. That what's his name?
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns did.
What's his name again?
I forgot.
There's only one guy who does all these epic war documentaries.
It's called The War. And I just want to say this. There are certain ideas that I had about World War II and the things that went on that I had a specific opinion about.
Mm-hmm. Like?
I'll give you an example. I always thought that the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were overkill. Like, it was a response to because I always thought that those two bombs were a response of Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor, yeah, a lot of soldiers died. Thousands of people died. But to destroy cities, I always thought in my head, was overkill.
It was overkill.
But it wasn't, Hiroshima and Nagasaki wasn't a response to Pearl Harbor. It was the years of war and the American soldiers trying to take over the South Pacific, all those little islands from Midway to Guam to
the Philippines.
Oh, yeah. To Iwo Jima, right? All those islands and those little battles they had, Americans lost thousands of soldiers. It was they were epically disastrous.
Even the Bataan Death March, when they surrendered to the Japanese.
Yes.
I think, 12,000 soldiers died on the way there.
Yeah.
And then when they got there, like another 15,000 soldiers died.
Jeez.
There was a lot of death.
And also, when they took over what's the one that Pat Morita's from?
Midway?
No. Okinawa.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They took over Okinawa. They were like, well, we know that the Japanese Emperor Hirohito told every citizen that you're going to fight every American soldier tooth and nail. So basically, every farmer, every kid, everyone in that island of Japan was a soldier. And if we would have invaded Japan, much like North Korea. Mm-hmm. The reason why we don't invite North Korea is because everyone will fight. It'll be ugly and bloody, and the cost would be so severe. And the reason why we didn't do Japan, because it would have been a 10-year war going in there. Mm-hmm. And you know, Americans were so tired of the war. So many of our sons and daughters, sons mainly, were dying. And those two bombs stopped the war completely. Japan surrendered. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's what changed about me. The bombs were horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible.
And without those two bombs, there would be no Godzilla.
Oh, come on, babe.
A lizard would have been hit.
No, but that's why they created that movie. Mm. That's a good movie.
Guys, good movie.
Great movies with Mothra.
Mothra? I mean.
Great movies.
When Bobby and I were in Kauai, we went to this ranch and I had never ridden a horse in my life. I don't know if you guys know this.
I thought you would have in the Philippines.
You guys, I think I'm meant to ride horses though. Okay, I feel like my next goal, I'm going to bareback. a stallion.
If I see you in the...
I connected with the animal. We got along. And but before we did, when we first got to the ranch, Bobby was bragging the whole time.
Okay, can I just say this though?
Remix.
Easy, because I have arguments with every point that you're going to make.
Yeah.
Please have the platform. Go ahead.
Please have the platform. Go ahead.
You may have the platform. Go ahead.
So we get to their ranch and they match you with a horse according to your height and weight and your personality, basically.
How do they measure that?
I don't know. Well,
it's bullshit.
It's a guess. Okay.
It's fucking bullshit the way they measure. Like it's a gut feeling, I guess.
It's a vortex? Okay.
There were like 12 people in a group and then everybody gets matched up with a horse. I get matched up with a really sweet horse named Dudley.
Nice.
Very calm, mellow. Bobby gets matched up with a horse named Sizzler. He's like pudgy.
Like the restaurant?
Yeah. No. It's his behavior.
And they're like, oh, Sizzler is a character.
Yeah.
And I was like, and the lady was like, I think you guys will get along.
Wow.
And so.
Oh, I get on Sizzler.
And so he's laughing at me because he thinks that I'm nervous to be riding a horse for the first time. Of course I am, because this is massive, you know, beast between my legs. But as we're getting on our horses, he's like, yeah, he tells the lady, he's like, yeah, I've done this. Like, I've ridden a lot. I went to Kentucky. Like, he basically paints himself a fucking cowboy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fucking wild, wild west. Like, he barebacks horse, like Mustangs.
Okay, basically.
Horse
dancing, but basically. Yeah.
That's what he said.
But what I'm doing is a fact. I have ridden horses before.
I know, but you made it. You were laughing. You're trying to humiliate me.
In front of everyone.
I know, but I just said, I've ridden horses before. I'm not a liar. Well, I've never ridden a horse before. Because if you said that, then they would give you extra, you know, instructions.
Sure.
I don't want the extra instructions.
Yeah.
So we go across this like Jurassic Park.
Beautiful. Right?
Beautiful ranch.
Yeah, imagine. Okay, by the way, Kauai.
You can see in my periphery. It's funny. Bobby unable to control Sizzler because Sizzler is stopping every 2 seconds to graze and he's like, stop it, stop it.
You were yelling.
Oh my god,
you know how like he's, you know, you're supposed to hold the reins like this.
Yeah.
He's holding it like this, like he's fucking, I was like, has this guy ever ridden or fucking hold reins before?
Yeah.
And he's like, stop it, Sizzler, and he cannot control his horse.
Can I just say this though? Now can I defend?
Not yet, I'm not done with the story. We finally get to the end of this spot, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure if he's ever ridden a horse before.
Yeah.
And so, to make matters worse, he's already kind of frazzled because Sizzler's like not behaving at all, right? And it's making him look bad. As he's trying to dismount, the horse just decides, fuck it, I'll dismount him for him.
Oh!
And Bobby just rolls off the fucking back of the horse, and it's this loud, like, thud to the ground. And I was crying because all you see was his little portly body just fucking just boop, like on the ground. Oh my god, it was so funny.
Defense.
It's, you know, hey, did you have Sizzler?
Did you have a character horse?
I get on Sizzler, and guess what? Half his ear is missing.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that? Mm-mm. Half his ear had been chewed off. Right? So I'm going, there's something wrong with this guy.
Been through some stuff. Yeah.
And the reason why I was holding the reins that way is because the other way, he was so strong that I couldn't get him up. And my hands were hurting. I had to do it that way. And yes, I have a portly body and my legs are short. And all right? And my left foot got stuck in the stirrup. And when I was coming up, it wouldn't release my leg, my foot. From the story, it was stuck. Mm-hmm. So I rolled off the fucking thing.
Did it hurt?
And this is ungrateful. Like, I did it.
How am I ungrateful?
I wanted to experience life with you and go horseback riding and do zip lining, and you make fun of me and you humiliate me?
The best, like, in my head forever emblazed in my mind is Bobby's little... short legs like clacking on the horse's body just to kind of get him going. It was just like click, click, click. This is like the cutest click, click, thing click. He's like, come on, sister, come on.
Wow.
Click, click, click.
Wow.
It was
shit.
Great then, trip.
That was great. And then we went also one morning And we basically took a boat ride around the island. And
why is she laughing?
It was just a bunch of kids vomiting.
Because wait, what? We went right after a storm.
Yeah.
And then I called that morning. I was like, hey, is this trip going to push through? Because
they should have canceled
it's storming
it.
Outside. And then the person was like, yeah, we think so.
So imagine being in the ocean, right? And this is, you're just constantly, pop, 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 right? Because there's so many waves. There's like six girls under the age of 8 just vomiting.
Oh,
crying, vomiting, right? It's a 3.5 hour trip, right? It's raining.
Yeah.
Pa, it's pa, raining.
Pa, 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 right? Pa, 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 right? Crying. And then the guy's trying to be cool. Look at the waterfall. Fuck the waterfall. Turn around. We're going to die. Then we get to the... This is so funny because we get to the... We get to a place where we snorkel. The snorkeling spot. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're just speed for an hour. And he goes, everyone grab a sandwich. First of all, I don't eat boat sandwiches. That's my bad. I'll wait go to our restaurant.
What's Why?
Boat sandwich? Boat sandwiches are stale bread and like hickory meat or something.
Hickory.
I just made that up. But, you know. So Kalila gets in the water. She dunks in the water. And on the surface, you just see vomit.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
I fed
she vomited
fish.
When she got in the water. That's how bumpy this fucking ride was.
Oh,
yeah, because, well, I get seasick not when the boat, when there are big waves. I get seasick when the boat idles. So if the boat, if the motor is off and then the waves are kind of just slowly crashing sideways, I lose my equilibrium because I have inner ear problems. Mm-hmm. So what I do usually is I jump into water immediately because I can find my equilibrium much better in the water. And so I swam away from the boat, snorkeled and fed the fishes with my vomit.
Yeah.
And it felt amazing. I didn't want to puke on the boat. I kind of just wanted to. But on the way back, the waves were massive. But I didn't vomit. I wasn't nauseous then. It's not when the waves are big that makes me nauseous.
And then I burned the inside of her vagina with Listerine.
Oh my God, he did.
Wait, hold on. Segue. What?
Oh my God, I'm still recovering.
Yeah, I made a mistake.
Would you?
Because okay,
she gets naked.
We were doing the intimates.
This is how she does it.
Tell us how Clara does it.
It's the way we do it now is very Soviet.
What does that even mean?
Okay, get naked. We're doing it now.
That's not
basically what it is. And I'll go, well, can I go to the bathroom and wash up a bit? All right, but I'm gonna be here. Let's hurry up. We have dinner reservations in 45 minutes or whatever.
Right, yeah,
right? That's not.
So I'm in the bathroom.
Jesus,
yes, it is.
You're so romantic.
I'm in the bathroom and I'm like, my breath is stank.
Stanky.
So it's like spam and like egg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I take Listerine, I just gargle it. And the first thing I do is eat her vag.
Oh.
Right? So I eat her vag, and then I insert my, my tool inside the vag, which made the Listerine go inside her vagina.
Oh.
So she had this burning.
But I rallied and I didn't say anything because I didn't want to ruin the moment. So I was just like, you just got to make him come real quick.
Yeah.
So I went fucking
Soviet.
No, but you know what she does to try
dynamic.
To make him come quick?
What?
She'll get on top and then she'll like start like kissing my neck and doing sweet whispers.
Babe, I don't want everyone to know.
Look at her face.
And then what did you do? Did you just do a camp counseling one?
No,
you were a Japanese businessman.
Oh, that's
the
right,
hotel.
That's right. That's
the five,
right, that's,
the
that's
butler
right.
brought me
that's
in
right,
as a gift.
Was. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys don't laugh during that stuff?
No. I'm serious about
it. She's serious about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
if there was an Oscar for that,
yeah.
She'd win one.
I feel like there should be. I am an amazing actor when it comes to role play. I don't ever break character.
Yeah.
And even a burning vagina with Listerine couldn't break me out of character.
So you didn't come? Like you lied. Did you lie?
Hey.
No, I didn't lie.
You did come.
Yeah, but anything can make me come. Like you could blow on my vagina.
She's very good at that.
I'm not very
No, she's very good at making herself come is what I'm saying.
Making myself come. No, you did that.
No, you do it to yourself. No.
No, you did that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one time during the sex.
We're not finished with the story.
The Soviet,
oh, whatever.
The story. So I made him come because I was like, oh my God, my fucking vagina is on fire. What is happening? And I thought that, oh, maybe something is, mechanically wrong.
No, we've had issues before.
I was like, is this a fungus flare?
We've had issues before. We've had issues before where her vag was itchy because of my left foot.
But sure, it felt like a chemical burn, right? So afterwards, as I was like, I got up and I washed up. And I was like, hey, did you put anything in your penis, like a lotion or anything like that? He's like, no.
And I was thinking about what it could be, but then I go, oh, I did a lot of Listerine. I ate her vagina. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So don't do that, folks, when you're making love.
Yeah, shit hurts.
Yeah. Love is a strange thing, making love, is it not? Yeah. When you're doing it, you probably not so much, George, but...
Listerine, wow.
Do you guys still kiss when you make love?
Yeah, that's, you have to start that way.
Really?
We haven't.
I know the whole Soviet thing. Like, even for me now, it's like I really love to be passionate.
Oh,
wait, five.
Boo. Womp womp.
And then I.
And then what? What do you do?
And you like to just kiss the neck.
I still kiss the neck. I just don't kiss the mouth.
And also, like, the idea of being like, "Hey, I'm naked. I'm ready. Hey, I'm gonna wash up my mouth. I'll be there in a second." It's like, no, you.
You want it to be like the movies. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's not real life.
That's so dumb.
But that's not real life.
As long as your partner enjoys the movies too.
Yeah. And also,
how does a schedule break down?
You fucking people who like light candles, turn the music on. No.
Did we ever do that?
Never.
It's contractual.
Like one time, like Rammstein was playing in the background, like by accident.
Yeah, yeah. Him and I are like,
no,
du hast.
Artisanal candles and Drake's new album. That's all you
need. Yeah, Gilbert. I think the dog just took a shit somewhere.
No, fart.
That was a fart?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that was next to your butt, though.
No, it's not. You can smell my butt if you want.
Yeah.
So Hawaii was a success.
You know what? Can I'll be honest with you. Okay. Out of all the islands, I think, you know, Kalila and I needed our time together.
For sure.
Because when we get into this place, there's so many animals now. And like I told you guys, I found a house, so we're going to move soon.
Yeah.
I had to buy a house.
Yeah.
And that way we can have bigger guests, you know, because there's some people I just don't want to bring to this condo because this is a small confined space and there's so many smells here. You know, the ones that come here, you know, like the Whitney's, Stone Streets, I know some of them are very big. These are people that I know. Mm-hmm. But, and I, you know, I want to, you know, we're starting splitting up together in a couple weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I want to bring Jenna Fisher on. I want to bring Anna Faris on. I want to bring people on, but I don't want to bring them here.
Mm, I understand that.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah.
People go, what about Mark Maron and Joe Rogan? I'll ask when I'm in a place. Yeah. I want to get neon lights. I really want to do a place. Cool. Like even get the cameras, just have the cameras just here.
Yeah. I'm going to miss this though.
We're going to do one of those.
We will?
Yeah, we'll get another one.
I feel like this is a staple now, the whole moon.
Yeah, the moon's good.
That's good.
It's a vintage, you know?
I like the green. We'll make the place look like this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not the Kim Jong-un thing right there.
No, that's a classic,
this
too.
This shot right here, this camera, every day.
What, they see that?
They see it.
And that whole clown thing?
These lights.
Mm-hmm.
So we just recreate the room?
We could recreate it.
We'll see what the space is. We could make it even better.
Yeah.
Hey, puppy.
What's going on?
They're playing with a shirt. Hang on, give me a second.
Yeah.
Hey, leave it.
So wait, are you guys keeping Fritter now?
No.
He's been here so long.
He has a meet and greet on Thursday.
You know what, here's the thing is with Fritter.
Yeah.
Is it's difficult now because I love him. And I love my animals more than I love my cousins. You've heard me say that before, right?
Yeah.
You know, if my cousin Andy was murdered, it would be devastating. Mm-hmm. Any of my cousins. But I would get over it. Like, eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
That's with all deaths in life.
No, not with... Because if Gobi, my dog, got murdered...
Don't put that out in the universe.
I'm not. I'm just saying. Let's make up an animal. Dimitri. My bunny rabbit.
The snail, yeah.
The snail.
Dimitri the snail.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have a connection. Just to say Gobi. If Gobi was murdered, I would probably spend the rest of my life trying to find who did it. It would be like my side project.
Mm, you'd be obsessed.
I'd be obsessed with, I would have to know who the fuck killed my dog.
Would you go Liam Neeson on him?
I would go John Wick.
Oh.
I would go murder. Hmm. I love my animals, and Fritter now is getting to the point where I absolutely love the guy. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you know this little, and here's what it is it's the way your animals look at you. It's not necessarily the way I look at them. They look at me like I'm some sort of father figure, or, you know, they know that I'm the boss. They you can also feel the love coming from them, mm-hmm. especially when they're tired. Like Fritter's crazy, this one.
It's wild.
He's wild.
He's wild right now.
In a good way, guys. But when he's tired, and he'll just place, like, my arm's sitting there, and he'll place his head on my arm.
Aww.
And he'll just kind of look at me like, "What's up, Dad? Hanging out." I just want to go, "Oh, I love you so much." Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what you did, babe. You fucked my life up.
Well, he has a meet and greet with a great family.
It's not
going to
work. It will not work.
Don't say that.
I'll tell you why it won't.
I want it to work.
I want it to work too.
I want him to find a great home that we can't provide him.
You don't know how to do it.
Listen,
Remy,
you don't know how to do it.
Remy, didn't work. Twice we gave it away. It didn't work. This sucker, twice we gave it away. It didn't work.
Three
times we got it, gave it away. Didn't work. So what does that say about your skills as giving things away?
I think that people probably don't. They think they want a puppy and they don't. They don't have a good gauge of their actual patience for puppies. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that a cute puppy on a picture is what they want. And then they get the real throes of puppydom and they're like, "Oh shit, we can't do this." And they're like, "Here, have him back." But if you want a puppy.
Yeah, that's somebody's shit.
That's his fart, I think.
Oh, it is?
So mm-hmm. strong.
Oh my God, that was heavy.
It doesn't hit over here.
Are you sad about England losing?
Oh man.
Well, the World Cup was fun. You know what I'm happy about? I'm happy about new teams winning it. Mm-hmm. I know that France has won it before.
1998, I think.
In 98. And that was a good team that won it. But just as long as it was in Spain or Germany or Brazil. I thought it was for Croatia to be in the finals. Mm-hmm.
Big stage.
It's a big statement, and it's also a shift in power. You know, a little country like Croatia, they have such talented people. Mm-hmm. And that also shows a lot about places where it was war-torn. Mm-hmm. You know, in places where there was some sort of like a society shift, either through government or country splitting, mm-hmm. people were oppressed or they were disenfranchised. They got back together and they used that pain and suffering to create great athletes.
I don't know the history of Croatia.
I don't either, but I know they were something else. Were they not?
No, they were all part of Yugoslavia.
Yeah, Yugoslavia broke off into different things, right?
Yeah.
But there was a war, correct? I don't know much about the history of it.
Yeah, in the mid-90s, there was a civil war.
That's what I'm trying to say, man.
Yeah.
You know what you don't know anything about history?
I have no idea.
What?
He doesn't know anything about history.
You two wrote a song about it, dude.
Yeah, Sundays Bloody Sundays. Is that what it is?
No, it was Miss Sarajevo. There was actually this guy made a 16mm documentary about like when Sarajevo was under being bombed, mm-hmm. about like this beauty contest they did like underground just to like regain some humanity.
Oh.
Yeah, and those that was probably during the time when Modric and
Mussolini.
No.
What? we're talking about Italian fascist dictator Mussolini, right? World War II.
Mangucic. So what's his name? The striker for.
Yeah, Luka Modric.
Yeah.
It's Modric, right? Not Modric.
Luka's Modric, but there's all the Mangucic.
Yeah, the taller one. Yeah.
The taller one.
Mussolini.
Yeah. And Mussolini. Yeah, Mussolini.
He's a four. He's a striker. Yeah. What are you talking about?
And, I wanted England to win, but they didn't. So that's that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Ooh.
What?
I was going to say, what did you guys think about, it was 2 weeks ago, Daniel Cormier becoming the heavyweight champion and Brock Lesnar coming back?
Well, I talked to Joe Rogan about it.
Yeah, what did he say?
And I said, he goes, that was crazy. And I go, yeah, but I don't know if I should be saying this because he said this to me, but I'm going to do it. I'll get in trouble later.
Don't get in trouble later. Just
it's
don't
not, it's,
say
it's
it.
Not a bad thing. So I don't even know why I'm even editing it.
It's talking about somebody's character.
No, not him.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay, good.
No, because he said about how great Daniel Cormier. I go, Anna, but it always felt like that the UFC wasn't fully behind
him.
Oh, for sure.
Miocic.
Oh, I didn't think so either. I think you're right.
Yeah,
you're
that's
right
how I feel about it.
You're right about that.
I feel like they were prepping Ngannou to win.
Mm-hmm.
They want him to win because he would have been a great champion.
Yeah.
And Joe basically said, "Yeah, you're right. You're kind of right." But he goes, "But listen to why. It's, you know, some people, we don't know what it is. And he said to, he said this about me. There's something about you that people want to hear you. People want to see you. Mm-hmm. And then he said, and then there's some comedians, no matter how good they are, they just don't have that thing, it factor. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And yeah. he goes, "We and there's no science to explain it. It's just the way it is." And I go, "You're right, because Conor McGregor is so watchable. Like, yep. he is just so exciting." And Joe goes, "Yeah, that's, you know, he has that thing." And if you look at the numbers of Miocic fights, they weren't kill. I mean,
not big pay per views.
They're not big pay per views. And it's a financial thing.
That makes me sad. It makes me sad because.
But do you think that's real?
I think it's factor, real, right? that the UFC was very not as supportive as they could have of a man who had single-handedly took down the greatest heavyweights.
It's a business.
I know, but like, you have to give credit where credit's due, and there wasn't a greater heavyweight than Miocic. That's just, and I think that they could have dumped a lot more on him.
You know who else? And I want to say something so controversial right now.
What?
But who else has something about him that is mesmerizing, not in a good way sometimes, but still he's a great villain and he has that touch, is Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
There's something about Donald Trump, right, that people love. They're obsessed with him. Whatever lie he tells, they eat it up. They don't care. Mm-hmm. That thing where Trump said, "I could shoot somebody on Manhattan,
yeah, and my followers
will always stay by me."
It's
a true thing. But also, he has that other thing that I was talking about the same amount of people hating him. I think about him every fucking day of my life. I think about Donald Trump more than I think about my parents.
Polarizing.
Mm-hmm. I wake up in the morning and I look at what he did. If I put on D in my Google shirt, it'll just say Donald Trump.
Oh wow!
That's how many times I Google him. I'm obsessed with him, and I hate him. But can I just say something? He's a star.
That it.
There is he has an it thing, regardless of if I like it or not. But he is a charismatic, diabolical, kind of an entity that has that thing that people want to talk about. You know, and some people just don't have that. What? Did I say something wrong?
No, I'm watching Fritter hump George's leg, and George is just letting it happen.
Yeah, when Fritter does that, he doesn't have an erection, so what is all that
about?
Yeah,
he does it to me.
It's instinctual?
Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
But why do dogs do that?
He still has his balls.
Should I jerk him off?
Please don't.
Is that bestiality, or is that me just being a good dad?
Well, Claude's done it.
I've done it. I used to jerk off.
Not
like,
Fritter, not Fritter. Not Fritter.
Also, Fritter. Also, I'm not a fucking puppy pedophile because I only jerked off full-grown dogs who still had their balls.
And what do you jerk
because
off
in the Philippines, it wasn't customary to like...
Cultural, you know?
It wasn't customary. It's still a big problem there. So stray dog population is crazy because most people don't neuter or spay their dogs. And so we had a lot of dogs, and one dog in particular named Rolly. Well, Rolly and another German Shepherd. You want to know his name?
Go ahead. Boyfriend's face is confused.
His name was Wow. And call him Wowie.
Okay.
Anyways, I jerked Wowie off because he had his balls. He was intact. And I felt bad for him. And he kept humping things. And then my older cousin, Detmar, was like, "Hey, you want to, like, Detmar, you know, help me out?" And I was like, "Oh, I guess you're an adult. You look like you know what you're doing." So I would, like, help jerk off the dogs.
Like a factory.
To complete. Call
you
me
up. You could combine.
I'm the dog father.
You think you could combine dog cum and human cum, okay, or other animal and crossbreed some sort of species?
Like a hybrid?
Yeah.
You can hybrid a lot of things these days.
Can you hybrid like a horse and a human, like, and make a centaur?
Like the pig human? Have you guys seen that like circulating the internet and stuff?
I've seen things where people have taken eggs on YouTube video. Like, yeah. What's those like weird Russian YouTubes where they're like illegal here? Anyways, they would take eggs and they would put human semen and they'd open the eggs and little worms would wiggle around. Like half human something. Like trying to, what he was talking, crossbreeding.
You can definitely hybrid a lot of things. I mean, you have things like ligers, or you have, what do you call it, mules. Those are different species that are being, you know, basically crossed.
Can I take dog cum?
A polar bear and a grizzly bear.
Vagina.
No, it's not going to work, Bobby.
Why?
Oh, if you want a hybrid, you have to genetically engineer it. I know, but
let me just kind of just say this. What happens? Homo-euphilus. I know what happens. Can I, so dog cum, go, let's say I put dog cum in you.
Oh my God.
No. So that, and the dog's, the dog's cum is swimming towards your ovary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And they're pretty fast. Dogs are fast.
Yeah.
Right?
Four legs.
Yeah. Four legs, right? And then all of a sudden they get the ovary and they go, and
they woof. What
the, yeah, they woof. That sperm, would it open? It won't work.
This is why Henry Rollins won't do our podcast.
So someone asked about that. They're wait a second. Didn't Bobby say that he was going to be on the podcast?
He you know, just
we're just too fucking low brow. Yeah. We're talking about dog sperm.
He just did 3 hours of Dean Del Rey's podcast.
Yeah, because they're both musicians.
Yeah,
I
but what
that.
Are they? I can talk about music as well.
Yeah, but we're talking about dog semen coming into my egg.
No, we're talking about a dog going up to your egg going woof woof. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He's too much of, you know, he's too
FYI,
up there for
us. Guys, Henry Rollins.
FYI,
Henry Rollins wanted to do our podcast.
He didn't want to.
No,
why
he did. No,
that?
He did at first. My agent was like, "You should do this podcast." Henry goes, "Well, all right, what is it?" Well, he goes, "You know Bobby Lee?" He goes, "Yeah, vaguely." I vaguely know him. And he went and listened to an episode of Tiger Belly, and then he said no.
I'm trying to figure out what episode he must have listened to.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's just one.
I don't know, but
it had to have been a solo, and it had to have been one of our discussions talking about.
Should have curated it better. The Jordan Peele one, that would have been perfect. He would have got it.
Yeah, I should have sent like sample clips, George.
No, but he just said no. I'm pretty sure
it's hilarious.
We wouldn't be able to get a lot of people.
I'm pretty sure that would have been a disastrous podcast, anyways, with him. I don't think that, like, we're silly in here. He doesn't strike me as a silly person. We are the silliest, the dumbest, most uneducated. He seems educated. And
I just talked about World War II for about 20 minutes. So.
And how Trump is polarizing.
That's true. And George talked about Sarajevo.
Yeah.
We talked about Sarajevo. There's a lot of information in this fucking thing.
Horse riding.
Well, yeah,
lots.
Yeah, lots, you know.
Oh, God. When we were in Kauai, I was watching. It's actually a documentary that has been out for a long time. But.
Oh, my God.
What is
it? You got to tell him. Tell him.
So in my island of Cebu, we have our version of O.J. Simpson. It's not the same story at all, but it was that much of a media frenzy. You know how the O.J. trial was a media frenzy?
This is the most infuriating thing I've ever heard, by the way. Okay. So yeah. Go ahead, babe.
So there is a similar trial like that in the Philippines when I was living there, when I was growing up. And it has to do with a kid who... me and my cousins and everyone went to school with. We knew him. His mother was my Spanish teacher for several years. It's a kid named Paco Larrañaga. And it's basically a kid who was wrongfully imprisoned and then put on death row.
Okay.
Accused of raping and fucking, what do you call it, mutilating two sisters.
Oh.
And then dumping their bodies, except one body was only found, and then the parents of the girls didn't even confirm her identity, so it could have been just anybody. And also, he has like 50 different alibis and 50 different witnesses who said he was in a completely different island, an hour away by plane, when this whole thing transpired.
He was in school.
He was in school, in chef school.
In chef school, and
took an exam.
The whole class, and then went out with professor. The whole class that night, right? And then he's on death row.
What the heck?
It really is the most infuriating situation.
But
what's the documentary called, by the way?
It's called Give Up Tomorrow.
You have to watch this documentary.
It because it's really closely, it's in Cebu. And the most infuriating thing about it is that the justice system is so corrupt and broken there, and the political system is so intertwined with all of that, that you just... Every 5 minutes, you get angrier and angrier as you watch it, and you're like, "Oh,
I literally, I couldn't watch it. I was just like, nah, I can't do this. I'm so angry and so infuriated that I cannot do it. I hate an injustice in that way when governments imprison the wrong person. Stephen Avery from Making a Murderer. I don't think that he did it, but I'm not 100% sure. In this Paco thing." You're 100% sure he didn't do it.
Yeah.
He wasn't even there in the same city. He was in school.
And there were photos of him with his friends.
That night.
The night that it was
teachers and everyone said, no, I hung, I saw him.
So everyone's saying this, but then why?
It's, well, watch a documentary. It kind of gives you a little bit of, it gives you an idea into how broken the system is back home and how easily manipulated and how you can pay anyone off. And a lot has to do with the girls who were murdered, their parents. There is a lot of sketchiness there. The dad was dealing with like some, he was working for like a drug business there. It's really deep and very, very frustrating to watch, but you guys need to watch it. It's what I remember most growing up in Cebu. It was such a big deal.
Damn.
So watch it. Give Up Tomorrow.
It's called Give Up Tomorrow. You have to watch it.
Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's on Netflix?
No, it's not. You have to buy it on iTunes.
iTunes, okay.
Yeah.
Buy it on iTunes, guys. I don't know, man. It's like, I feel fairly optimistic about our futures.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I do. I feel optimistic about us as a group. I'm not saying we're the Beatles.
Are people saying that?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to confirm.
Yeah, we're not, you know, but I feel like we're in the right direction, and that's it. What do we have time?
Unhelpful advice with Bobby and Kalila.
This is a girl listener.
Good.
Finally.
Finally.
Hey, Tiger Belly crew. I am a 21-year-old Filipina living in Phils. And in March, Philadelphia, I think. And I believe to have met my soulmate on the internet. Or maybe she's from the Philippines. I don't know what Phils is. Philippines? Okay.
Yeah.
I believe to have met my soulmate on the internet. He's an Italian guy who was looking to improve his English, and I was looking to improve my Italian since it's my major.
Maybe she isn't from the Philippines. I don't know, but go ahead.
We connected with such overwhelming intensity. We were as compatible as they could get. Had the same opinions, were big fans of the same video game franchise, had the same kinks, attracted each other at a ridiculous level. We talked for hours every day and had a 9-hour video call every Saturday.
Oh my Jesus. God.
We liked each other so much that we planned on spending a week together in Rome in October. And he liked me so much that he chose to wait for me instead of fucking someone there instead. There you go. We were finally about to start with the paperwork, but suddenly his ex called him, and it ruined everything. It made him realize that he still loves her, and while he cares deeply for me, what he felt for her was stronger. So now we parted ways after a tearful goodbye, and I'm here, miserable, and I'm madly in love with a guy who's being happy with another woman as we speak. What do I do to heal? I feel like I'm never going to find someone that's perfect for me again. Also, please don't belittle what we just had because it started over the internet. Thank you, guys.
I'm not going to belittle, but
appreciate
you. I'm going to tell you this.
Gab. We'll call her Gab.
This is going to go back to World War II. Just listen to what I'm saying. Okay. All right? Don't roll your eyes, you fucking cocksucker.
Stop sucking cocks, George.
I love you, Amin. That's what I meant to say. When these soldiers were out, either they were in Italy, Sicily fighting the Germans or wherever they were in the war, soldiers, American soldiers, what would they have in their like wallet or in their pocket to get them through, you think?
Family. Picture of their loved one.
Exactly.
Place.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. They'd have a little pinup of their girl back home. Mm-hmm. And that alone would get them through. Because back then, that was enough. But now it's a different time. Right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that that kind of love don't exist no more. You ain't in a war, lady.
You're studying Italian.
All right? You have Tinder, Bumblebee, Grindr. Get on it. Mm-hmm. There's so many more dudes out there.
How old is she?
She is a 20-year-old Filipina living in Phils.
Look, am I not right about that?
The one thing I promise you, and this is a promise, is that you are going to feel a love much more extraordinary than this one. So far in your life, this has been the most extraordinary love you've felt, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that it's going to be the most extraordinary love you'll ever feel.
That's what I'm going to say.
It just keeps getting better from here. And I think that if you look at it that way, as this breakup being an opportunity to find something even greater than the last, mm-hmm. you'll reconcile with your pain a lot sooner and faster, I think. You're only 20. imagine at 20 already knowing that you can make those type of connections and feel that kind of love with someone, it'll only get better. And there's no other way to heal other than just sit and wait and, you know, let time pass. But also don't sulk in a room. Get out, force yourself to do things. Listen to songs that break your heart, make you cry, as long as you let it out.
Yeah, but you know what? I miss that feeling, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I miss that heartbroken feeling.
You know,
of
like when you're young and
you're just
devastated,
crushed, and all you're doing is consumed by it, and then
yeah,
and also that loss and oh my, that heartbreak. I fucking miss it. When you get to my age, that's gone.
You should feel
you're
very
dead.
Lucky.
My heart is dead.
Yeah.
I mean, if Kalila left me for another man,
we'd be fine. You'd be
that's
fine.
That's not
in
what
a
I was going to say, but.
You'd be fine.
I was going to say that. It would suck.
Yeah, but that's it. Suck. It wouldn't be devastating.
It would be devastating because of other things.
Yeah, but exactly. You're already minimizing our relationship.
No. Other things.
It would be devastating.
Good, good.
But it wouldn't be. I know she's here, and I'm gonna work around it.
There you go, work it back.
I'm gonna figure my way back.
Papa's gonna work it.
I'm gonna get back. All right, she's the love of my life.
Boom. Done. Game over. Checkmate. You lose, Kalila. He loves you.
He said boom,
and you win.
Bobby wins.
She's the love of my life. Right. I'll never meet another girl like her. Okay. Right. Right. My point. Yeah, yeah. Right.
My turn.
But I wouldn't kill myself.
Mm-hmm. As no one should.
But in my early 20s, there were some times where I was like, I think I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, that kind of
heartbreak. That kind of heartbreak.
Me too, yeah.
Irrational is what I'm saying. It's irrational. But there are times where you miss that. Of course, if Kalila went off with George, which I think, or Bryce, or maybe a combination of both of them.
Oh my God, a tag team.
Good luck. Have fun in the country. Or farming or whatever you guys do. But
the cousins.
And also, if you did like, you know, role playing in the bed with these guys, they're not as good as improvisers.
Why do you like
improvisers like I am?
I know, but why do you like put yourself in these like forced cuckold situations?
I know, it's such a forced cuckold.
Like, you want to be cuckolded, I think.
No, I don't.
Like, you always talk about me like going off with Brendan Schaub or George or Bryce or like fucking anybody.
Brendan Schaub would be devastating to me. George and Bryce, I would laugh fucking for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Just cackling. Brendan Schaub, he would be like, what the fuck? Oh, my God. And then they have their own podcast. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That'd be terrible. Oh. No, this girl, you know, it's youth. But you know what? I'm sorry that you're going through that.
I'm sorry that you're going through that, but I'm happy that you're going through that. You're going to learn so much about yourself in this time of pain and devastation. And there's only good things that can come out of it. And you're going to realize so much of who you are in all of this angst and pain. Mm. When you break through and you come out on the other side, I swear to you, there is no greater feeling. Oh, like when the moment when you're like, hey, I'm okay. One day you're gonna wake up and you're gonna be like, hey, I'm okay now. And that is so liberating.
You know how I feel about love is Paris, Texas. I'm gonna just say this. I wanna also tell people what my favorite movies and stuff are. I think every episode for the next couple of episodes, I'm going to just tell people what to watch. Mm-hmm. Things that start.
Oh, like also our song of the week.
So, you know, my album that people need to know is the third Velvet Underground album. It's called The Gray Album. It is a fantastic album. It's out of all their work, more singer-songwriting. It's pretty low energy, the album. But it's one of the best albums ever made. It's them sitting on a couch. It's called The Gray Album. It's the third album, The Velvet Underground. One of my favorite movies is a movie with Harry Dean Stanton. It's a Wim Wenders movie, and it's called Paris, Texas. And for all of my life, when I saw that movie, that's what I thought love was, that tragedy. You know, Dr. Zhivago is pretty tragic, but for me, it's Paris, Texas. It's a love that you just can't, it's unobtainable. It's a love loss that it's just not gonna work. And you just know it's not. But obviously my perception of love has changed because I found the love of my life.
Boom.
If you say boom again.
I mean, 5-0, Bobby's winning.
Yeah, my song of the week.
He loves you more.
Give your song of the week. My song of the week is a band that Bobby introduced to me recently, and they're called the Ruin Brothers. And my song of the week is All Shades of Blue.
Do you really like that song?
I love that song. In love with that song. And that also that's that Tribe song, but it's an old song.
Yeah.
Ruin Brothers, it's called All Shades of Blue.
Well, there's a new kind of music, a category called New Retro. Mm-hmm. And it's these young bands sounding like older
Oh, I have
bands.
Another song.
What's
too.
Another song?
Shannon and the Clams. I think
another new retro song.
Yeah.
Band, I mean.
But I think I forget the title of the song. I shall find it.
Do you guys want more? One more quick question?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, this guy was inspired from Kalala the other week. Hey, Tiger Belly, I decided to ask this question after I heard the story of Kalila confronting the guys who accused her of profiling. A couple of months ago, I was walking down the street at night, and I noticed a middle-aged woman walking in front of me. She kept looking back at me uncomfortably. She began walking quicker. I felt really offended that she was scared of me. I ran fast until I caught up with her. Sorry.
That's so funny.
I'm not trying to laugh. Huffing and out of breath, and said, "Yo, I don't want to rape you." She was mortified and sped away. Speed walked away. Wait. Yeah. Is this wrong? I was trying to stick up for myself.
Yeah.
I'm a 20-year-old white guy, medium weight, medium height, medium white.
Yeah.
And
medium white.
Am I guilty until proven innocent for the rest of my life? How do I confront people who make these assumptions? I don't want to be spineless either. I emailed you the picture of who he is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I hate people like that.
Well, he was trying. You influenced him to stick up for himself. So
good for you. What's his name?
His name is Maximus.
That's his name. Well, also, it's a little cute pony in his picture.
Let me see.
So this is the guy ran up to the woman.
I'm going to see this photo.
He chased
this
her.
This is what generally Tiger Belly fans look like. In terms of white dudes, right? This is basically like just a Carrot Top, Doug Stanhope, you know, hybrid.
He's so cute.
So
if you saw this man, Clara, behind you, and you looked back once, and he ran towards you faster, and yelled,
"Giggle,
yo! I don't want to rape you." Would you be scared?
Yeah.
Are you a prop comic? That's what he looks like.
You hit the flamingo?
I would be frightened if he ran after me for sure.
Yeah. Right. Don't do that, dude.
Yeah. Don't do that.
But also, like, I'm so sad that I inspired that.
Yeah. Don't be angry at the lady and say, "Yo, I don't want to rape."
Also, because. She probably didn't assume you were going to rape her. She probably thought like something less than that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, he's going to steal my purse or whatever. Yeah. The rape was a little excessive.
It's a little excessive.
Yeah, so don't let Clara influence you too much in your decisions.
What a great podcast
fantastic.
Today.
Fantastic.
Okay, that Shannon and the Clam song is called Did You Love Me?
What a great podcast. What a joy.
Phenomenal.
What a joy. I'm going to go eat with Steve. Is that okay?
Why do you have to ask me also?
Because I always want to know.
Yes. Can you help me with my oily face?
When we come back.
Okay, yeah.
I got to go eat with
Steve,
though.
Road dates for Bobby Lee.
Bobby will be at Portland Helium Comedy Club in Portland.
In two weeks. Portland, Oregon, guys. It'll be fun. I have a new opener named Asan. He's very good.
We talked about him the last time.
It's very good.
Cool, guys. That's our show. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Tiger Belly, on Twitter at The Tiger Belly. Email us any questions at thetigerbelly@gmail.com.
Also, another extra shout out to Chef Aaron Mattson from Ama in Kauai for
what a nice guy.
And treating us really nicely out there.
Cool dude. And then make sure you hook yourself up with some Lisa. Don't miss the summer savings. Get $160 off at Lisa Mattress at lisa.com/belly. One more time, that's lisa.com/belly. Everyone, have a good night.